And we're starting the top of Sukkot Yud-Fed Amud Aleph. So the Gemara yesterday discussed the machlokas between Rami Bar Chama and the Rav with regards to whether Rishut Yorish is a din of Rishut Lokeach or not. I mean, does it have a din of Shinoi Rishut because it has a din like a Lokeach or not? So Gemara discussed that machlokas in the context of our Gemara. Then the Gemara now is going to give an alternative version of where that machlokas was found. So where it says here, Rav Adar Bar Abba Matnei Lahad Rami Bar Chama Aha. That Rav Adar Bar Abba spoke about this machlokas, about whether Yoresh is Kolokeach or not, about this, so if you're about this comment, and then we'll see what the, how the two interact. It says, Hiniach Lehem Abiyem Ma'ot Shel Ribit. Their father left them over interest that he had charged, right? Obviously, illegally. Not supposed to be in a Torah, you're not allowed to charge interest for a loan, but despite the fact he did charge interest and he kept it. Even though the children know that the money that they have in their hands is interest money, they don't have any responsibility to return that money or to return that interest. So that's important because even though they know it, they don't have to return it. And now part of that comes from the fact, or stems from the fact, that this is a little different than the case of our Mishnah, where it's Gezel. Because here, the Ribit came into the possession of the, right, the person, or the charger of the interest, Rishut, right, it was handed to him, right, even though he wasn't supposed to collect it, nevertheless, he was given it.
Not Rishut of someone who is actually allowed to give him Rishut.
Right. So he gave it to him with Dak, but it still has a quasi din of Gzeilah. So that's not total Gzeilah, but it's somewhere in between what we would call Matana, a gift. It's clearly not, he didn't intend it to be a gift. On the other hand, we know that he didn't take it illegally, he didn't take it, or, you know, without permission of the person. So we have something that's in between the states. That's what Rami Bar Chama says about this, and this must be that Rishut Yoresh is Rishut Lokeach Tami, and that's why he doesn't have to return the object over here, because you have, right, a Shinoi Rishut. If you have a Shinoi Rishut plus the Yayush, then you're all set. Rav Amar Olam Emelachal Rishut Yoresh Lav to Rishut Lokeach Tami. No, that there is no Rishut Yoresh is not Rishut Lokeach Tami. So, why do they take possession of it? Why do the inheritors take possession and they're unable to extract the interest back out from his children? So that's the Gezeirah Sechah too. The Shani Ochel Damar Kura Al Tikach Mito Neshek V'Tarbit. So the Gemara said, the Pasuk says you're not allowed to charge interest. You're not allowed to collect interest. Adelei Kihefe Denachi V'Adach. Right, so that you have to go after him, or Hadrele, you have to return it, take the Nachi Badach, so it'll be comfortable. The Zidei Kamatarle Rachmono. That is what, when it comes to him himself, that the Torah warns that you may not take it, and you must return it. On the other hand, the Brei Lo Mizarle Rachmono, the one who's, but his children are not warned or not, right, obligated to make that return. Now, as Mara says, this is the Girsa that we have, the Girsa that Rashi is Mazif. Just to note that Rashi has an opposite girsa, which he explains, but he says that I think the first one's right. So we'll read according to that girsa. Mazamati lo abraito, the one who explains the machokus between Rami Bar Chama and Rabba on this braisa about Ribid, Koshkena Masnitsin. Certainly they would read it about our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is a case where, what? You misappropriated it, right? This is a case. If you say Rami Bar Chama says it about the braisa, that there's no other reason, you know, meaning to suggest. Here we have a pasuk which suggests that the children are exempted in this instance. Nevertheless, he says that what the conclusion from the braisa is Rishut Yoresh Kir Rishut Lokeach. Then certainly by the Mishnah, where there's no other mitigating factor, there's no other pasuk, then we're going to say that he believes Rishut Yoresh Kir Rishut Lokeach. I mean, the one who says that Rami Bar Chama again and Rava have their statements on our Mishnah, which was yesterday, the end of yesterday's daf. Then Avala Braisa, when it comes to the Braisa, Rami Bar Chama Rava Manilo. Then Rami Bar Chama could agree with Rava that they have no proof from this Braisa by Ribit, because the Braisa by Ribit just is an exercise of, right? An exercise of says that the children are exempt from returning the interest, and since they're exempt from returning interest, we can't prove that Yerushut Yoresh is Kirushut Lokeach Tami. Okay, now Tan Rabbanan. Hagozel, we're going to have two brachos here, which seem are a little bit cryptic, and then the Gemara is going to explain them. And then we're going to come around again, the Gemara is going to give a machlokes between Tzumchus and the Rabbanan, who are relevant to the explanations of these brachos. So we'll leave little gaps, and then we'll try to bring it all back together at the end. So Rabbanan, Hagozel, umachil et banav. Someone who steals and then feeds his children with it, turim, edushalim. Children are off the hook, there's nothing to pay back. Nothing to talk about. Hey, niach lifnehem. On the other hand, if he leaves it for them, meaning that the object, he leaves the gzeilah, which sounds like gzeilah is kayemet right now, he leaves it for them. Gedolim kayevim l'shalem, kitanim turim l'shalem. Then gedolim are responsible to return it. On the other hand, kitanim are not responsible to return it. Vim amru gedolim. If the gedolim themselves say, ein ano yodim cheshbonot shechishiv avinu imecha. If they say, we don't know what type of deals our father had with you, we don't know if he already paid you back, if everything's been taken care of, then turim. I says, what are you talking about? Mishum de amre in ano yodim turim? What type of, meaning that if they don't say anything, then they're chayavim. As soon as they say in ano yodim, they become patur. We still have a bari and a shema. The nigzal is coming with a bari claim that he was stolen from and that he needs his money back and he's never paid back. And the kids say, we have no clue. So why are we going to say all of a sudden they say Enan Yodim, all of a sudden they are Pturim? Doesn't make any sense. So Amar Rava Achikamar. Rava amends the Mishnah to read like this. Yidolim, Shamru Yodim Anu Cheshbonot Shechishev Avinu Yimecha. We know our father's accounts. Velo Pashbecha Gabei Velo Midei Pturim. So they make a bari claim in return, which is that we know we owe you nothing. So if they make a bari claim in return, then it's that's it. Pturim, we don't obligate them then to return the item to the Nigzal. Okay, so as we saw, I mean, he amended the Mishnah, the Brisa, to read that way, but we understand one case is where, which is from our Mishnah also, of Gozel Machil Banav, that is Patur, that's pretty clear. The last case, which is that the Gdolim, who say we know clearly that our father paid you back, then there's nothing to talk about, again, they're Pturim. The middle case, which again we're going to come to in a minute, is why are the Gdolim Chayavim to return, and the Ksanim Pturim, when it's Yiniach Lem Naviyam, when the Gzela is Kayemet. Right, why is there a differentiation between the Gdolim and the Ktanim? Now, Tani Yidach, we have an alternative, right, though?
What if the Ktanim has a time and then it becomes
Gdolim? Right, so we have to address what the, we had that before in the previous parak about when is the Taina versus when is the Nigzal, when is the Zela happen. That was the end of the previous parak. Right, Tani Yidach. A Gozel Machil, it's Banav, Terim L'Shalim. So again, the same header. He feeds his children with this stolen stuff, and it's Terim L'Shalim. Now he leaves it for them. Vachalum. Right, so now they ate it. So he left it for them, so the gzela was kayamet, and then they eat it. Ben gdolim, ben ktanim chayavim. So whether it's gdolim or ktanim, they are responsible to return the item. Where it says, ktanim mi mechayvet. Why should ktanim be chayav to return the item here? What are they? Lo yehid ela da'azik azuke. They should be no worse than a mazik. Over here, what happened? Their father left them over gzela. They go ahead and they eat what should have been. The gzela is kayem and it's a stand. It should be returned to the owner. What do? They go and eat it instead. So why should it be any worse than a mazik? And we know the din of a custom by a mazik, right, which is b'giatan ra, that you're not able to collect from a katan. I mean, no matter what. If a katan does, if you damage a katan, you gotta pay him. But if the katan damages you, right, then there is no paying. He doesn't pay up. So why over here should the ketanim have to pay up? So Amar Papa off the Kamar, so the Papa now amends the price to read a niach lifnehem v'adayin lo achlum. Not that they ate it, but it's still extant, they didn't eat it yet. Ben gdolim, ben ketanim chayavim. Whether gdolim or chayavim, or ketanim, they have to return it. Now you can steer between the two brisos. You have one brisa that says that if the item, niach lifnehem, the gdolim have to return it, ketanim don't have to return it. Now we have a brisa here that says niach lifnehem, the item still stands, that both Gedolim and Ketanim have to return it. So Amar Rava, so we're going to go into a tangent and we'll come back to explain that part of these two, that's here in the Brisos. Amar Rava, Hiniach Lem Aviyam Para She'ula. Right, Rava says that if their father left them a borrowed para, something that they borrow, Mishtam Shimba Kol Yimei She'elta, they're allowed to use up the residual or the remaining time that is in the period of borrowing. Meta, whereas, but on the other hand, if it dies, what's the din? A din by a shoel is that he's chayiv even for onsin, right? So meita ain't chayiv in bonzel. The dies are not chayiv to pay the onsin. So they have a din of rights, meaning that they inherit their father's rights of usage of the animal, but they don't right, inherit their father's obligations, right, for the own sin. They don't. They were never appointed, or they never took on the responsibility of becoming shomrim, or becoming a shoel over here. So therefore, they're patur from the own sin. Now, kitzvurim shall avihem. On the other hand, if they think that the animal is their father's animal, they don't know it's borrowed, but they think it's their father's animal. They go ahead and they shef and they eat it, assuming that it's part of the estate, right? That they can eat this as meat for them. Mishalim d'mei bastar b'zol. Then they pay back. They don't pay back the full value of the animal or the meat that they ate. They pay it back at the cheapest meat that's out there, or the cheaper price of the meat that's out there. Rashi points out that two thirds of the value of what the actual value of the item would be. So now,
what's the reason for that? For that cheshbon of two thirds?
Oh, why do they get that dispensation?
Yeah.
Because if they they don't have to pay, because if they knew about it, they wouldn't have eaten the meat. Maybe they wouldn't have eaten it. It's very expensive meat. They may not have made that choice. So
well,
the fact
they
that
to pay anything.
Because they did eat, they did take someone else's animal. In the end, so they're responsible
right.
to return the
animal.
Yeah,
it's like a
really
case that he needs
right.
He has a machlon, which we have two conflicting prices before this, whether they have to return it or they don't have to return it.
All right, but that's in a case of Zela. Right over here, it's clearly
there's
the Zela helps because there's a kinyan that happens because of the Zela, right? You have a Yeush and a Shiud and a Rishut, which gets it into your possession, that's why they're not going to have to return it. What's not true here by his Sheila is that it's borrowed. There is no Yehusha Balum here, right? So the Shinua that they do on it is not going to be Konesh for them. Then they have to return the object. The object still belongs to the original owners. And they're actually the ones who steal it. It's important here. There's a difference. By Sheila, right, there is no, the Marit, Beshute de Marikai. It belongs to the original owner. And when they go ahead and check the idiot, they're the ones who, quote unquote, stole it from the owner. If they steal it from the owner, they've got to replace it. We give them a dispensation because there's some sort of mistake over here that they didn't know it wasn't their father. But like by shame, they have to replace it. They have to pay kihanato, not rechazaki lato. If kihanato means that I go out, I would have bought him the cheaper. If I wouldn't have bought him the luxury,
I saved him
food. Right. I got hana'a, so I have to deal with hana'a that I have to pay for. On the other hand, I didn't. I wouldn't have chosen this meat necessarily
right.
if I had to go out and buy it. Right, so that explains this. But that's the difference between this and Zeylah. In Zeylah, the object's already stolen, there's Yeush, and then they come and have a Shino Rishut, and it's out of their position. They didn't do the stealing. Right, now, right, so this is a cryptic statement in the Brayso. So, father leaves them, then they have to pay. Alright, now, what does that statement mean, and what is it going on? Some people put it on the ratio, some people on the safer. What is that? The one who writes it about the Reisha, kol shekena seifa, then certainly they write it on the seifa. I mean that if you say in a case, right, that the parashula, where it was meta, right, by onis, there it dies without their intervention. They didn't be a dying. They were not mazikit. And on that case, you say what? That there's achrayut nechasim. What are achrayut nechasim here? Is that the father had property, real property. He had karka. So we know that the karka becomes encumbered to the nigzal, or to the one who lost, right, to the nizak, prior to the father's death. So if you believe that he borrowed it, and now the property becomes encumbered to this object as a shomer, then when he dies, the property is still around, then the shoel can go and make a claim from that property. Then certainly, in the second case in that Braisa, the second case in which Rava brought down over here, where they shecht it, they be a daimer mazikit, then certainly there'll be a chroyut nechasim in that instance. The plegay the rapapa, and this argues in rapapa, we'll see rapapa's statement in a second. Mandamayu la seifa, the one who learns that this is on the seifa, meaning that only when there might be a daim do we say, if there's karka, if there's real property, do we say to them, you've got to repay it. Aval ha-reisha, look, but when it comes to the reisha, no, because that's not a mazik v'yadayim, that's something that happened ba'onis. Ba'onis, there's no obligation. Why? We'll see in a second, because that's Tanya's Rav Papa, that's the position of Rav Papa. What's Rav Papa's position? Domar Rav Papa, Haita para gnuva lo. Person has stolen a para, v'tavcha b'shabbat. And then he shechts it on Shabbat. Chayav. He is chayav on the para. Why? Isn't that Kimle B'Darabimine? Kimle B'Darabimine says, I shecht an animal on Shabbat.
Right? If I shef the animal shav the chayiv mitzah, the person shef the animal shav the chayiv mitzah, the chayiv mitzah, then what? No money. Because Kim later Abed, there's no paper for money. So why not over here? Right. Shekvar chayav the gneva. Kodim shevol is the Isur Shabbat. The chiyuv gneva already was in place before the Isur Shabbat. Because he stole it prior to the time that it was Shabbat. Right, the Avera was already done. Right, it was done before Shabbat, so he was already chayiv the gneva. He checked it on Shabbat. He's not chayiv. Next day, sorry. Haita para she'ula. Now he had a borrowed para. Vitabcha b'Shabbat. And over there, then he soveach on Shabbat. Patur. She'ishu Shabbat, v'ishu gneva b'ayim keachat. And the Isur Shabbat and Isur gneva come simultaneously. Because it comes from that moment going forward. Now this goes back to our previous braisot. What does Rav Papa believe?
She'ila is
not right. Rav Papa believes that she'ila doesn't encumber you. The time that you are gozel or gonave is the time that you take the animal or misappropriate the animal. That moment it becomes a issue of gzela and you become obligated that minute. So now, going back to the braisot, right, we said one case would be like Rav Papa, one would be against Rav Papa. The case is Hainuk to Rav Papa. What's like Rav Papa is the second case. In the second case where, what happened? They thought it was their father, right? And then they shechted it. Right? So when they shechted it, they became obligated at that time to go ahead and repay the amount. Because they're gazlanim at that moment. So therefore, that time is the Rav Papa. Because only in that case, right, do they become obligated. Not in the first case. What's the first case there? The first case is that their father borrowed it, and then it died the onus. So now, according to Rav Papa, when did the obligation start? The obligation technically only started when it died. When it died already, right, it's after their father passed away, then there's no obligation on their father's property anymore because their father's long gone. The property that their father left them is not going to be obligated. On the other hand, if you believe that in the first case, which was the first way, mind the mother of the ratio, if you believe that the first case in that braisa, but if the father had property, it would be obligated to repay the animal if it died mafan onis. What does that mean you believe? It means that you believe that the obligation or the encumberment of the property happens from the moment of the she'ila, from the moment of the borrowing. And therefore the father's property was already had a lien on it to repay the borrowing. And therefore when the father passes away and the yosomim, it dies under the hands of the yosomim, if a guy can come and collect the property. Why? Because the property was already chayav from the time of their father. That would go against Rav Papa's statements. That's what the Gemara said before. If you believe that there's achriyot nechassim to pay back on the ratio, then you don't hold like Rav Papa. On the other hand, if you only think it comes on the seifa, then you hold like Rav Papa because that means you believe it doesn't work in the ratio. Why doesn't it work in the ratio? Because of Rav Papa. Rav Papa believes that the obligation only starts at the time that the gzeila is done, at the time that the problem starts, the time that there's an onus, not from the time back of the she'ila. Right?
And what's the sevara to say that the responsibility takes place at the time of the she'ila?
Because that the shomer, once he takes on the responsibility to be all the other shomerim, once they take on the responsibility, they take on a responsibility to us at the end of last time also, they take on a responsibility to return the item. Remember when we discussed who we can go down with, right? The decision of who we can take to court. We said that the obligation of the shomer, according to Rav over there, was that the shomer has to get the item back to its owner. So he takes on, from the moment he becomes a shomer, he takes on the obligation to return the item. Alright? Whether it's the item itself, whether it's the repayment of the item, he obligates himself at that moment to return it. He basically encumbers all of his property to ensure that the item is returned to the original owner. So that's it. Through the Derech Shmirah, the Yisomim don't have that. They don't have that obligation because they never took on the obligation of Shmirah. That wasn't their obligation, right? They never accepted the obligation of Shmirah. So it only can be something that's imposed on the father, but not imposed on them. This isn't a point. I mean, there's a huge rashi down here. It's really dealing with an issue that's not, why aren't they chayav? Why aren't you chayav on the tvicha when it comes to Isur Shabbat? Now, tvicha, when it comes to kefil, for instance, and tvicha and mechira, those are knasim. Knas is not necessarily overridden by kimle d'rabimnei. What kimle d'rabimnei takes out, we've seen this earlier, is mamot, it's the karen. So the karen is eliminated, right, then you can say kimle d'rabimnei and don't pay the karen. But why, over here, it says that if he toveach the animal on Shabbos, he's patur because of kimle d'rabimnei. Why does he have a patur of kimle d'rabimnei because of the tvicha on Shabbos? So I would have said, right, I read the price and I said, okay, you know why? Because we know before that the din is dalet behei,
but then it's 4 and 5 times that you pay for tzvicha and mechira, not gimel v'dal, not 3 and 4 times. If you eliminate one of the 4 or 5 times that you have, it's a keren. One of them is the principal, plus you have an additional 3 or 4 times that cumulatively makes up the 4 and 5 times. Same with kefa. Kefa is 2 times. One of them is a keren, and the other one is a knas. But if I'm missing the keren, then I don't have kefa. If I'm missing the keren, I don't have 4 and 5 times. So we've seen before, the Gemara Tarshish in other places, that when you're missing part of it, I mean, let's say you're missing the kefa, or you're missing the keren, the whole thing falls apart. That's how I would explain the Gemara. It's the easy way to explain the Braita. Rashi says that's not necessary. He says it might be true, but it's not necessary. Why is it not necessary? Because it says the only person who can be chayev kefel, and the only person who can be chayev for tzvicha mechira is a ganav. A ganav, number one, who is ganav, literally, is a ganav, or a shomer, who is to'ein tanat ganav, who can be poter himself through the claim of ganeva, which is the shomer chinam, to'ein tanat ganav. Anybody else, right, is chayav in Karen and nothing else, because there is no Arba Chamisha, there is no Kefel, because there's no application of those cases by a Shoel. He says you never come to Arba Chamisha, you never come to Kefel with a Shoel. Shoel can never reach that point, because either he's a Shoel, or he's a Gazlan, right? But he isn't Toin Tanat Ganav, and he's not a Ganav. So that, therefore, he can never come to that Chiyuv. So you don't have to think of a way why he's Patur, but it's even, there is never enough, he could never even get to that point.
As soon as he sheds the animal, he becomes a Ganav.
A Gazlan, right, he's a Gazlan, and therefore he's Sayyad and the Karen, that's it, no more, it's nothing less, nothing more. And therefore there's nothing to talk about in terms of the Zvichan, the Chiyuv, and the Kesa. That's what Rashi points out over here. Alright, Tan Rabbanat, now this comes back to reconcile, this will reconcile the break that we saw above. Tan Rabbanat, the Shia Tzilai Shir Gazal, one must return the Gzilai that they stole, Matam Lomar Shir Gazal, right, you have Zir to ancient Gazal, so you have to return the item that you stole. Mikanamru, Guzel Makil has been up to Rim L'Shalim. Exactly, Shoal mentioned this before, that you only have to return it if the object is here. But if he stole it, and he fed it to his kids already, it's not around anymore, then there is no obligation on them to return the item because, right, the item's not here to return. Heiniach lifneihem. On the other hand, what happens if the item still exists? What happens if the item is extant now? Gdolim, ben tanim, chayavim. Whether gdolim or tanim, chayavim, yes. Vishum sumchot amru, gdolim, chayavim, tanim, turim. Sumchot believes, no, that gdolim are chayav, whereas tanim are turim to return it. And that will first write, so that says, Gdolim Chayavim and Ktanim Pturim is Sumchus. The second brayta that says both Gdolim and Ktanim are Chayavim, that'll be the Deya of the Rabbanan. That'll be the position of the Rabbanan, and therefore we've now explained through all the braytot, we've explained all the cases in the braytot. Now, Bar Chamua, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Bar Chamua, Chamua is his father-in-law, so Bar Chamua would be the son of his father, which makes him his brother-in-law. So his brother-in-law was a Katan. Rabbi Yirmiyah had a brother-in-law who was a katan. Tarak gali b'afe, the Rabbi Yirmiyah. He slammed the door shut on the face of Rabbi Yirmiyah. His father-in-law passed away, and Rabbi Yirmiyah had supposedly bought the house from his father-in-law, or somehow got it as a gift from his father-in-law. But the kid didn't want Rabbi Yirmiyah to get a chazak or to take a claim on it, so he slammed the door and he made sure that Rabbi Yirmiyah can't enter it, and he stays there. So after the kamei to Rabbi Avin, he comes to Rabbi Avin. Amar shelo hu tovea. I mean, what's the problem over here? I mean, the boy has a right. If he's an inheritor, here he's a yoresh of his father. It's his property. Why are you trying to get into the property? It belongs to him. I can bring witnesses that I already took possession of this prior to the death of my father-in-law, that I either bought it from him or got it as a matana. I want to bring these witnesses to show that I owned it before
his
this point in time. What? That
his brother.
My father-in-law, Rabbi Yirmiyah, wants to bring witnesses to the fact that he bought it from his father-in-law, and that this katan does not belong over there. That it's not his property.
From his brother-in-law or from his brother-in-law?
From his father-in-law. Father-in-law. Before the death of his father-in-law. He already did the transaction. That's what he says. That he did it. He already took possession of it in the time of his, in the time of the katan's father, which is the father-in-law of Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Okay.
Alright. V'chini kablin idin. Slowly say, Baldin. Wait a minute. Can you be done a case without the Baldin being there? So I would have thought, simple way to read this, what it means that the Baldin's not here. The father is no longer around. I mean, that you're making a claim that you bought it from the father. You have the Idin, right, that the father's not there.
That's a case without the other party.
No,
there.
The cousin can't be
right. The Baden is the Katan, so why is he not there?
He can't be a Baden.
So that's what Rashi says. Hi, Katan. Come on to let's say, dummy. This Katan is if he doesn't exist. So we have no party. We have no counterparty here. There is no right defendant in the case. So how can you have a case without a defendant? Velo. The Gemara says, is that really true? What do you mean? That's over here. Rami says back to him, why not? Vaktani. We have a case over here, which is what? There's a Gzela. Alright, the Gzela is left by the father, and it's still around. What do we just say? We said that the Rabbanan believe that Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, they have to return it. That means we're being done, both with Gdolim and Ketanim. We're telling them they gotta give it back. It says, Vaktani, Ben Gdolim and Ketanim Chayavim, they have to return it. He says, Amalei, so Rabban says back to him, Vahamakalokes, Sumklos, Bitsidech. Says, why are you quoting me the Rabbanan? We know that Sumklos disagrees. So Amar Rav Yirmiya says, "Ichfil kule alma v'kai kesumklos avkuin the didi." He says, "Listen to me. You're going to go take a das yachid to knock me out of my property, meaning that you're going to go and say, oh, let's be choshish for sumklos is das yachid, and tell me I can't get my property. According to the din derabanan, I should be able to get my property because I can be done with a katan." So at the house, he galgil milsa atu umatu the kamei Rabbi Bo. Over time, the case rolled out and ended up in front of Rabbi Bo. Amar lo shmiel the chul. So Rabbi Bo said to them, didn't you hear Ad Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama Rabbi Oshia? Didn't you hear this principle? What's that? Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama Rabbi Oshia. Tinok shetakaf babadav. A tinok that went ahead, Rashi has two lish notes here about what it is, but let's say a tinok went and grabbed some of a demon, claims that they're his. Vayiradatok zesho chavera. And he went, or in other cases, that he went down, he took the field of a another party. He goes out and he goes and claims. So one possibility is there are two cases here. He grabbed some Emet Nani and he took them and he says they're mine. And then, or he went down to a field and he says that's my field and he takes it over. Or the other possibility is that he took his Avadim, his Emet Nani, and tells them go down to this field and take over this field. So basically they become, they're his Shlichim to take over this field. In either case, here's a Katan putting a stake in the ground and saying that this is my property. Vamar Shalihu says they're mine. We don't say wait until he grows up, right? Meaning that, alright, let's wait, we can't be done with him. Wait till he grows up, then in the meantime he'll keep the property because we can't get it away from him. No, we take it away from him right away, we return it to the owners now. And they wait till he grows up, he'll bring the Edim then, and then we'll see what the Kedin of the case is.
They don't give
little
kids 100%.
Right, they don't have this carte blanche to go and take property wherever they want to claim it. What's this? What type of case? How can you compare these cases? Over there, what's the claim of the Katan? The Katan comes and grabs a piece of property just as it's mine. He's not coming with the fact that his father already lived there, but it's a chazak of his father.
Isn't Rabbi Avin saying this?
What?
Isn't this Rabbi Avin saying this?
Rabbi Avin is saying...
Rabbi Avin is saying the case, right.
Or would answer back that according to you, Rabbi Avo, this is not a good comparison. Why? Because over there, the case that we're being done in, right, there is Aval Hechadit Le Chazak of Avua. Our case is Chazak of Avua. The young boy is saying, my father lives here. Alright, so he has the chazakah, and then I come and I show up. I'm coming with a claim that it was my father's, and therefore I am the rightful inheritor of this property. Over here, by the other case, the case of Rabbi Bo is bringing down, the case of Rabbi Oshia, that's the case where this cousin shows up and makes a claim without any previous, right, chazakah or previous reason to believe that it is. So, Amar of Ashi, Amar of Shabdai, Mikablim Edim Shlo Bifnei Baldin. So, Rashi makes a blanket statement that was, we are Mikablil Edim. Without Shlobit Nei Bavin. So he could. But Rabbi Yochanan mulled this over. Problem, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is mulling this over is that Rabbi Ashi is after Rabbi Yochanan. Right. So on the side here, you see the English Pah brings down that maybe it's Rabbi Ashi HaKadmon, one possibility, or the other possibility, which is that the Gemara does this many times, is that the Gemara is inserting what the other person would have said in this context, right?
It could be that Rabbi Yochanan founded it a few hundred years ago.
Right. But it seems that it's a response to Rabbi Ashi, so it at least Rabbi Ashi answered that in. What do you mean? You can't accept Edim before that about din. That's a violation of due process. How could that be? So Kibla Mine Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Seva Kabbalah from Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, how to explain this position or how to reconcile right, between Rav Ashi and Rabbi Yochanan, which is to go. Shayahu Choleh, he was sick, I mean the Baal Din is sick. Oh, Ezrav Edav Cholim, or his witnesses are sick. Oh, Shu Edav Mvakshim Lelech to Medina Tayam, or his witnesses are who want to go to Medina Tayam. Now, so the question here is how to read this last line, who? Vishakhulo Vilobah. And they call for the Baal Din to come, and he doesn't come. Now, Vishakhulo, is it O, Vishakhulo Vilobah? Or they call the Baal Din, and he doesn't show up. I mean, so it's all these instances. Plus, there's an additional case if we call him and he doesn't show up. Or, Vishakhulo Vilobah has to do with all these instances beforehand. Meaning, when they ate him or leave him, we need to say, yeah, we call him, he doesn't show up. That's a problem, because we need to do that, we need to be done right now, and he's not showing up right away. Or is it, oh, so that's a question about how to read this. Tosus deals with it. He says that if you look in Tosus, Omeri, Mashma, the Baish Shokhul, Ovalobah. Bahadi Shayu Edab Cholim, Shayu Mavakshim, Lefendinatiyam. When the Edom are sick, or they're trying to go overseas, right, then we have to, he has to refuse to show up. Right, he says that. Mio, he says later on, Mashma, the Baish Shokhul, oh, that it really means, oh, that there's an additional case over here. So therefore he says that he thinks that the Girsa really should be the O, or should be, you know, O, that there's an additional case. Amar Yehuda Mishmol, Mekabli Meidim Shlo Bifnei Baldin. Right, Rav Shmuel makes a statement similar to Rav Ashi, that you're allowed to be Mekabel Eidim Shlo Bifnei Baldin. Amar Marukva, the Didei Mepharshu Lemine Dishmol. I have an explanation of the position of Shmuel. Gon Titzvul Eibidine. They already started the Din. Veshachul Eibulasa. They already began to ponder, to work in the Din. And they sent for him, and he doesn't show up. Avalot Titzvul Eibidine. If they didn't start the Din yet, Matir Malay, another Beis Din Gadol Azilna. He says, I want to go up to the Beis Din Gadol, Eretz Yisrael. And he has a right. He has a right as a litigant to go up and make a claim and say, I want to go and be done in the Beis Din Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not going to come to this Beis Din. You guys are a lower Beis Din. I'm going to go to Beis Din Yerushalayim. And that he has an ability to say that. Right? Says, Yochi, Yipit Chulei Nami, Matzi Amalei, the Beis Din Gadol Azilna. Why? Because they unilaterally, the judges unilaterally started the case. Can he not make the same claim that I'm going up to Beis Din HaGadol? Why does starting the case without him make them any more, make him any, have any less a claim that he wants to go up to the Beis Din Yerushalayim? He should be able to make that claim in any instance. Samar Ravina could go to Nakot Diskam and Beis Din HaGadol. That this court here has a document which remands the case to them in Bavel or in the place that it is, this lower court, to take the judgment. So since they have this diskia, since they have a shtar that says they are supposed to don the case from the Beis Din HaGadol, you can't say I want to go to the Beis Din HaGadol, because the Beis Din HaGadol said, mandated the case, and said they got to deal with it over here. So now we have another machlokes. Alright, mekayim et hashtar shelo bifnei Baal Din. Right, so we are mekayim hashtar without the presence of the party who is going to be obligated here, I mean the loven, right, or the person who will be obligated on the other side of the contract. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ain't mekayim et hashtar shelo bifnei Baal Din. Rabbi Yochanan says, you cannot be mekayim hashtar with the eidim, but you're bringing it here. Be mekayim hashtar, you bring eidim to verify the signatures on the shtar, which is mekayim hashtar, puts the shtar into tokef, makes it a valid shtar, and then you can go make a claim against the defendant here, which would be the loveh, or the other party, and say, listen, you owe me money, and you gotta pay it up. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that the loveh, or whoever is gonna be obligated in this situation, has to be present. So Amar Le Rav Sheshu, the Rav Yossi, the Rav Yobo, Asavar Lecha, time with Rav Yochanan. I can explain to you the position of Rav Yochanan. Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Vehu Ad, Vibala, Velo Yishmerenu. This we saw earlier in the Sefta. The obligation, the need, that when you are being Me'id, the shore, making the shore into a Mu'ad, you have to do it in the presence of the Baalim. You have to do it in the presence of the owners. So you see, Amar Torah, Yavo Baal HaShor, V'yamod HaSharo, that the owner of the shore has to be present at the time, right, that you are done about his shore, about his monetary obligation. So over here, anytime you have a din, you gotta have the other party present in order to do that. And same thing with Mekayim Shtar. Mekayim Shtar is gonna obligate, may create a monetary obligation. If it's gonna create a monetary obligation, requires the Baal Din to be there. So Amarobo, Yukotso, the Locha is Mekayim Shtar Shalom Bifnei Baal Din. We are Mekayim Shtar even without the other party. Vakilu Omeid Vitoveyach. Even he's standing there and saying it's a false star, this is a mizuyah, right? This is a forgery. Even he's saying that, we don't listen to him. Alright, why? So Tosfos discusses over here, what's the issue over here? Because everybody agrees, we saw from the previous Gemara, that everybody agrees that when it comes to Edim and bringing of Edut, we don't do that without the presence of a Baal Din. Because we modified the two people who said, Rav Ashi and Shmuel, who both said that we bring Edim without the Baal Din there, we qualify their statement. Rav Ashi's statement we qualified with Rav Yosef and Rabbi Hanina, which is that only in extenuating circumstances. What are those extenuating circumstances? The guy's chole, he's mesukan, he's going to die. We have Edim that are leaving town. Those extenuating circumstances, they say, show up. Otherwise, you know, imayna lo akshav, imatai. If we don't do it now, it's going to be a problem. So there we are extenuating circumstances, we say you don't need the other party there. The Edim, we bring the Edim without the Baal Din if he doesn't show up. The other case, we said the qualification of Shmuel was also in a case we go ahead without the guy who's very refuses to show up, because I want to go to the Beis Din HaGadol. So he has the right to make the claim. Where he doesn't have a right to make that claim is when they have a diskia, when they have a document from the Beis Din HaGadol says you got to do that, the lower court is going to don this case, and too bad. So if he doesn't show up in that case, we're done without him. So that means that in general we believe that you can't be done without the Edim. So why over here is Rabbah Paskin Alokha, life Rav, which is that it comes to a star, we can be Mekayim the Shtar without Edim. The answer is because we have a principle that a Shtar that is Khatum, a Shtar that is signed, is Kenechre, right? Is Kenechre Dutam the basic. Mido Raisa, the Shtar is a valid Shtar, and there's nothing to talk about here. To be Mekayim the Shtar is Edim Dirabana. Edim Dirabana is you have to go ahead and be Mekayim the Shtar. So Mido Raisa, the Shtar is a valid Shtar, you could go and make a claim and collect on that Shtar without having to do anything more. The fact that now you need to be Edim to be Mekayim the Shtar and Beis Din, that is a requirement mi derabanan. So that requirement mi derabanan is a question how the Rabbanan established it. Rav believes, yes, the Rabbanan had an obligation to be Mekayim the Shtar, but when they did it, they were mekiel that it doesn't have to be done in the presence of the Baal Din. That's the kula. Enochanami, you have to be Mekayim the Shtar, mi derabanan, but you don't. I hold, you're right. When it comes to real Edut, you gotta have the Baal Din there. But it got to Kiyum HaShtar, which is only the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan didn't extend their takana to also include the fact that it must be in the presence of the Baal Din. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, lo klos, no difference. Anything that has to do with Edut, we're going to have to require the Baal Din there. So just like regular Edut, we require the Baal Din to be there. So to over here, where the Edut to be Mekayim HaShtar, we're going to require that there be, right, Edim there. And that's why Rabbah Paskin Galocha, like Rav, he says, no, that doesn't uproot or undermine the Pesach Halacha that we had before, which is that when it comes to Edut, you need the Baal Din there. Against the Kiyum HaShtar, that's a special case of Kiyum HaShtar, which is a Din Rabbanan, and there they didn't require the presence of a Baal Din.
So when, I'm not sure you understand, but Rabbi Tzach says that the Kiyum HaShtar is still the Baal Din, because it's only been there.
Right.
But it's not there. That means it's only been there. It's not there.
Right. I mean, that's...
So that's over there.
Right. I mean, he knows.
What has courted up?
I mean, he says that in the presence. He told them.
They didn't hear it. And he's close enough to be considered there.
I mean, it happened before the time the Edim show up. I mean, it doesn't have to. We know that he makes a claim that it's not Baal Din. I'm assuming that you have to come up. They have to think that he's not in court, but he made a clear position that he thinks it's Mizuyah. All right, so now we're going
to
continue.
Is it possible to say that the Iker Svara behind all this is that the Shtar takes place after all the Chakiros and Rishos have been done, all the Edus has been accepted, and aside from the fact that the Rabbanan need to Kiyum HaShtar, but that the Edus Bifnei Baal Din was already happened a few days ago. This is merely a secondary
You're saying a nice part, which is why when the Rabbanan established that there should be Kiyum Shtarot, that they didn't make the requirement of Bifnei Baal Din, because Bifnei Baal Din already took place, already transpired. So why require again the requirements, or why make a necessity again to have these
Bifnei Baal Din? Why is Rabbi Yochanan saying what he's saying, and maybe you can say
right, he says, well, book. Right, that's the easy way to explain Rabbi Yochanan. All right, now the Gemara continues about people refusing to show up in Beis Din. All right, now we have this guy that's already there. So now he says, V'yomar nekidu li zimna d'maitina tadei, umarana li shkar. He says, give me some time. I have a din that this shkar is invalid, or it's a forgery. Give me time to get it. Nakinim le. We give him 30 days to go ahead and bring a din to prove his position. I ata ato, if he brings a din good. Vilo ato, if he doesn't come, nakinim le bahav. It's coming up, bahav's coming up. So here's the mission. We wait for him, bahav. We wait him another Monday, Thursday, Monday. Ilo ata, if he doesn't come at that point, so he's got 30 days, plus he's got an additional, let's assume now he's got an additional 7-8 days, where he doesn't show up with the Edim. Then Tavina Pticha, Ale Tishimion. We wait a Pticha. Pticha is a document of Shamta, what is it, Shtar Shamta, which says basically he has refused to show up in Beis Din. But we give him 90 days. We write this document for 90 days. Why?
So I think Kamai lo nachtina nechtei. For the first 30 days, we don't go. So even though he now has a document documenting his refusal to show up in court, we do not close the case and let the claimant go in and get the payment or get his property. Why is that? Because we give him 90 days to see if he can rectify the situation. Why 90 days? Because we say the first 30 days, lo nachtina nechtei. He said that he didn't, we're not going to go down to his property. Damar katarach mezuzei. Right, so he says that he's working around trying to borrow money. He's trying to get a loan. So he has to lend, he has to borrow the money in the meantime, and he takes 30 days to give him that for the first 30 days. Mitzvayai, for the next 30 days, we assume, Nami lo lachtin and lay next day, Damar dimalo ashkacha mizid. He figured out he couldn't borrow, and but Kadarach Mazvin, but he says, I'm going to go try to sell some property. So we'll give him time to sell the property. He figured out he couldn't borrow, so now he's going to go out and sell his property. Give him 30 days to sell the property. But try, Nami lo nachtin and next day, Damar lo keach kufay, Kadarach Mazvin. He found a buyer. Now the buyer needs to get a mortgage or needs to get a loan. So we give him 90 days to say maybe he's working on being mistaken. He couldn't come up with the agent. So he can't prove that it's a forgery, so maybe he really intends to pay over here. If he intends to pay, he's got to rectify the situation. He needs a period of time in which he says, I'm going to bring the money, and we're going to give him a 90-day window to bring the money. Now, lo also, if he doesn't come at that point, Katrina drops that next day. Then we give the sheriff's warrant, and we say he can go down and take the property. We give rights to go down and seek the property, assess it in the basement, and sell it off, so he can get paid back. Vehani milay. All of this extension of time is damar atina. When he's saying, I'm bringing it. Now, if he says, I'm bringing it, or he says, I'm bringing the money, then we give him these extensions. But if he never makes that claim, avalamar lo atina, alter katvina. He says, I'm done, I'm not showing up in court, and I'm not bringing the money, then right away we say, base of Haskins, and gives him the right to go down and take the property. It's in violation of the stock of the basin. Vehani milay. This is only been milde. That's only when we're talking about a loan. Why? By a loan, we say you have to give him time to get the money back. Why? Because the money's not here. The mother of son, he's not used the money, he's got to find new money to repay. About the picadon, not talk to me. If that's a picadon, we write it right away. Why do we write it right away? It's not his. It belongs to the valet. Right. What right does he have? I have to go find it to pay it back? Why isn't it in your possession? It's a picadon. You should never have been out of your possession. Right. When we write an adrachta, it's a okay. We only write an adrachta on property. Real estate, real property. About a matal lo. When we give the warrant to go down and take the property from the defendant, we only allow you, the claimant, to go down and take the property when it's real property. Why? Why is that? Dilma shamit vachaluhugamil malkin. Because if we give him non-real property, if we give him a talcum, the malkin might eat the property. The matalcum, if he has a loga, it might decide that in the end when the loga shows up with proof. Otherwise, if the document's a forgery, marlay the shtara, and he proves that the document's no good, lo mishkach mide the mikvah. He has nothing to get back. I mean, the malva already ate whatever he took, and now he can't get his money back. So we don't give it to him. If the malva has property in which we can encumber to pay him back, then katvina, then we write it. We write it because even if he eats the malva, we can get it back from the property of the malva. So what you see over here is that, right, we don't want to make the judgment final, right, until we've really given the defendant the full opportunity to get his rights, to get his due process. So we give him time, first of all, to bring his aid in. And even if he can't bring the aid in, we give him time to raise the funds to pay back so that he won't go down and fire sale his property in order to get the money back. And again, we only do this when there's a possibility of reversing the Pesach Halacha, where we know that if it's the Pesach Halacha stands, right, and he all of a sudden later on brings something to undermine the Pesach, that we don't say, okay, now we can't get his money back. We don't allow him to do that. So we only use carte, or something that can be encumbered. Now, the Gemara rejects this. It says, Lovish. Adrakta matazale kutvina. The Gemara says that conclusion is incorrect. We never write a warrant on the talcum. Afagav. Yeah. Afagav the Isleir Makarke. Even if the Malva has property, we don't say it. Why? Hashina Shematakshit. We worry maybe the property will get ruined, go down in value, that it won't hold its value. If it's worried that it won't hold its value, we say we can't put the Lov at risk. We give him money and they won't take it back. Bechita bin Adrakta Modinle. When we write the drafta, we let him know. I mean, that we tell him. We tell him now that your property is being seized, and you have to know that we're going to sell it off. You have to let him know that we're seizing the property. That's only if he's here. He's present. He's in front of us. We say to Muslim, we're going to seize your property. About Mirchak, well, if he's far away, no. We don't tell him. Veer Mirchak, he can Krovim. If he's far away, and we have Krovim, he has relatives that can get him the message. Or we know there's caravans, there's regular travel between the place that he is and where we are now. Then Mashiach Le Treta Yarchi Shata. We give him 12 months in order for the Krovim to get him the message, or in order for the caravan to go and get him the message. So we give him 12 months so that we, when we write the warrant, and he has 12 months to know that the warrant is in effect. Ad Azlov, Ad Shayarta, until they go and come back. Gather Ravina, we have a case like this. Shalom Mar Acha, Treta Yarchi. He waited 12 months by Mar Acha Shata, Ad Azlov, Ad Shayarta, Mibay Chodai. So they came back from Bechodai, they informed Maracha, Maracha wanted to make his claim, and they wrote him a warrant to take his property. They waited 12 months before they gave him the warrant, until the defendants could be informed that the warrant was being issued, right, that they were going to go, the sheriff was going to come out and take the property. The Gemara says Beloi, and it's not true. We don't wait 12 months. Hatam Yainish Alima Abba. There are exceptions where we wait 12 months, that's like Maracha. Why? Because Maracha, you have a Machia Drachali a day, lo meyaksha la fuke mine. Once a Maracha gets his hands on property, you don't get it back anymore. So he's the equivalent of a Drachta Metalpoli. Right? The equivalent of what we say, a Drachta Metalpoli is we fear you can't get the property back, so we won't write the warrant on Metalpoli. So too over here on Maracha. Maracha, we will not write a warrant until we know for certain that the defendant knows about it and has no other claim. That's why we wait 12 months. Because if Maracha gets a hold of it, there's no getting it back. There's no reversing this stock. Whereas in a normal case, Monday, we give the Shliach Beis Din Tuesday to go inform the defendant. Wednesday for the Shliach Beis Din to come back and tell us that he refused. And Thursday we finish off the din and we give the adrachta. We don't have this requirement of waiting all this time until the defendant comes. If he's not present, if he's not available. Amar Ravina, Haish Lucha de Rabbanon, Mehemenin Le Kebetre. This Shliach de Rabbanon, when we set out the warrant for his arrest, meaning that basically it's not a warrant for his arrest, but they observe him notice that he must show up in court, we send it through a Shliach Beis Din, a Talmud Chacham. When that Talmud Chacham comes back and says he refused to come, we serve him notice that he's supposed to show up and he refused to come, then we believe this. Shliach Rabbanan, like two people, and we say that he refused. We believe that he refused. Behind him, there's Shamta. That's only to put him into Shamta. That only to put him into excommunication in the sense that he refuses to listen to Beis Din. Avalabticha, but to write the document of Shamta, came into Mamoraka Machatur Leib because it causes him a monetary loss. The Kabbalah made him lay Zuzah the Tafalov. Because he has to give money to the writer of the document? No. What does this mean? This means that when Beis Din puts him into Shamta for refusal to listen, he was served notice, he refused to listen, then they can do that. If they write a Ticha L'Shtara, if they write a document documenting his refusal to show up and putting him to Shamta, when he shows up in Beis Din for his case, they rip up the document. But they only rip up the document once he's paid for the document. Why? Beis Din has to expend money. Beis Din has to lay out money to pay the sofer to write the document on his behalf because he refused to show up. So we say, you know what? You didn't show up. Now you show up because that's the loss. You have to pay money. Before we rip up this Ticha, the Shamto, you have to pay money. The problem now is that Beis Din cannot write this document. Alpi, the agents of the Shliach Beis Din. Why? Because Alpi Shliach Beis Din, what now happens? He's chayav money. The defendant is now chayav money because when he shows up in court, he's going to pay money, he's going to pay for the sofer. So Shliach Beis Din can put him into Shamto, but he can't obligate him monetary damages. You can't obligate him in money because you need two ways in to be chayav in mamon.
Wait, so when they put someone in the shamta, they don't immediately write it up?
Well, they would normally, but in this case, they won't because of this.
If he's not there.
Right, if he's not there, or we can't believe the shamta. If we don't two ways in, then we have to wait until he's. We get evidence that his refusal is in front of Aiden, and in front of two people.
I'm a Ravina. Yeah, Ravina Zimna Apuma the Isita Apuma the Shizavit. We serve notice through a woman or through a neighbor. I mean, if the guy's not present, we could send it through a woman who's passing by the basin, or we could send it with a neighbor who's passing by the basin to serve him notice. That is only if he's not in the city. If he's in the city, lo. Why? No, because I mean, Anymar lo Amrule, Damre, Ashbechinu, Shlicha, the basin.
If he's in the city, the word person you sent, this neighbor or this woman who sent to serve notice, will say, you know, he's in the city, the Shliach Beis Din probably found him. They'll think, oh, you know what, they sent me, but the Shliach Beis Din also went out, so we figure we'll catch him either way. If he's in the city, right, they'll say, you know what, if I forgot to give it to him, you know, the Shliach Beis Din probably caught up.
Therefore, it's not a good serving of notice if that's the case. Below Amran,
if he's not in the city, and he's going to come back to the city, it's only assume when he does his route into the city, doesn't take him past the Beis Din.
Right? About Khalifa Baba Basin, but if it's moved back into the city, takes him past the door of the basin, lo, Imre Yashkukhua Basin. They're going to say, Dina, we're going to say the basin saw him passing by and they gave them notice. They told him about it, Imre Lay, Velo Amron, right? He says, I'm sorry, Imre Lay, they told him, therefore we don't need to tell him. Velo Amron, El Ta'et Biyomen, as also he's only coming back that day. They can serve him notice through this woman or his neighbor, assuming, number one, he's not in the city. Number two is that he's returning that day, and number three is when he returns, he's not going to pass the basin. About Lo Ata Biyomen, he's not coming today, Lo, why? They forget about it. We don't assume that they, when we serve notice through these people, they're actually going to remember to do it after the day, first day we tell them. Amarava, Haiman Tehtiv Alei Tzicha. Someone has a document of refusal to show up in court written about them. Adulat Adine, Adulat Adine Lo Karin Le. We do not rip it up until he shows up in basin. Not if he says, I'm coming. Until he shows up in the basin, we don't rip it up. Adulat Zayt Adina, if the basin gives a Psak Halacha, and then he doesn't listen to the Psak Halacha, and they write a document to that effect that he's refusing to listen to Dayanim. At the Tzayit Lo Mekarin Alei. Until we see him actually carrying out the Psak Halacha, we do not rip up the document of refusal. Velohi, and we disagree with only the second part of Rava's statement. The first part stands, which is when you write a Psak of the Shamta, he refuses to show up in court, and we say until he shows up in court, we won't rip it up. Why? Because he has no other excuse. The only way to rectify the situation is to show up in court. On the other hand, Tevin Damar Tzaitina Karin Alei. When it comes to a Psak Halacha, if he says, I'm going to listen to the Psak Halacha, then we give him right away, we rip up the documents. Why? Because we have to give him time to raise the money or to do the, right, to carry out the Psak Halacha. We don't say that he has to immediately carry it out. Once we already know that he's in the process of carrying out the Psak Halacha, we give him the opportunity, we rip up the documents until, you know, unless of course the Dayanim see that he's faking or that he's done it before and he's lying, then we don't give him that opportunity until he does it. But in the interim, we believe him when we say he's trying to raise the money, he's trying to carry out the Psak Halacha that Beis Din gave him, and therefore we'll rip up the documents of the Shizu.
Sure.